Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. As usual, I'm your host, Cody, and today is November, which means, today is not November. Today is one of the days in November, but we are starting a new month, we are starting a new theme, and if you listen to last week's episode when I rambled on for quite a bit of time for no reason on random things, I had one topic, but I wasn't sure on it, and guess what? I changed my mind anyway. So today we're going to be talking, or this month, we're going to be talking about DC's Black Label comic books. For the folks out there who don't know what DC Black Label is, essentially it's a more mature titles. So they'd be a little more violent, a little more gritty. They're also kind of, they're not in continuity of the main DC comics. So they will always have different stories, different characters, which gives the writers the ability to change backstory, gives them a ability to kill off characters, invent new characters that don't interact and don't change what the main DC universe is. So basically, the overall basis of DC Black Label is to tell different stories using existing DC characters as well as new stuff that doesn't even have to do with any DC characters. So far there's a big focus on Batman stuff in it. There's a Superman book in it. There's a lot of different. I'll give you a list of the movies, the books that are already out. The first one was Batman Damned, ran for 3 issues. The trade's already out, I believe, came out last month or some nonsense like that. Oh, September. So last month. They had Superman Year One, which the trade comes out sometime this month, but those 3 issues are done. They're doing Batman Last Night, on Earth, Batman Last Night on Earth. That'll have 3 issues. The last issue will come out next Wednesday, so a week from when you're first hearing this, or on the 13th of November 2019, whenever you're listening to this. Then you have Batman Curse of the White Knight, which is the sequel series to a book called Batman White Knight, which is written and drawn by a gentleman named Sean Murphy. Great book. Then the 4 newest ones, which is actually the ones I'll be talking about this month in order, are Harleen, which is a 3-issue series that delves into the essentially origin story of Harley Quinn, which I'll get to in a little bit. Then you have Joker Harley Criminal Insanity, which is another book that again I'll get into next week. Week after that, I'll have a book called Joker Killer Smile, which is another book around Joker. And then the last week, which will be a book called The Last God, does not have to do with your traditional DC superheroes and villains. It's a all new everything, and you get to kind of, it's a new thing you get to do, and it's one of the only ones that's a in the first batch that's outside of the DC canon characters. And then you have another, it's an imprint inside of an imprint, which is fucking weird to think about. But it's called from Hill House Comics. It's a collection of comic books curated by Joe Hill, who, if you've ever listened to me on here, I talk about a lot. We talk about on the main podcast too. Joe Hill is a writer of books and comic books, most notably Lock and Key, which I've talked about on here. Soon I'll talk about again because of the TV show. Anyways, he did a book called Basket Full of Heads. The first issue came out last Wednesday, October 30th of 2019. The next one will be at the end of this month and then the middle of next December. And then January for the 4th issue, and there's 2 more after that. They don't have release dates yet for, as far as I know. Then you have Dollhouse Family. You have The Lolo Woods, Daphne Byron, Plunge and Sea Dogs, which is a backup story, which is pretty cool. So the backup story is going to be 6 issues. It's going to be in the back of each of the released books. So you'll have the first part of it is in Basket Full of Heads. The second part will be in Dollhouse Family. Third one will be in Lolo Woods. Then you'll have one in Daphne Byron, and then you'll have one in The Plunge. And I think the last one is in the last issue of Basket Full of Heads, I believe. I could be wrong about that, but I think that's what I read. And like I said, the collected editions of the other ones, they re-released Batman White Knight in trade paperback format under the label of the Black Label. Then you have Batman Damned. The hardcover collection of issues 1 through 3 came out in September, and then later this month, the hardcover edition that collects Superman Year 1, issues 1 through 3, will be out on there as well. But yeah, so that's a big thing. But today we're going to be focusing on Harleen. It is a 3-issue series, mini max or whatever you want to call it. The name of the writer and director, writer and artist are the same person, and it's a name I'm going to butcher, and I'm very sorry for this. I think it's Stepan or Stejban Sedjic. I'm not too sure. I don't even know who he is. I've been buying all the Black Label stuff because I'm interested in seeing kind of what they do. And the cover for this one, when I first saw it, intrigued me quite a bit. I was very, very excited to kind of see what it was like. I saw a preview of the art that showed up, I think, online first. But the art is stunning. It's so well done. I don't know if I can really compare it to anything. It's very, it was very unique the way he sets up pages. And I probably could have done some research on who he is, but I didn't. But the character designs are stupendous in it. The overall art style is very animated. The characters have very high level of detail in them. Lots of flowing hair, wrinkles on every part of their body. It's just a very well designed everything. I'm trying not to flip through the pages while I'm talking to you. But it's the art, like I said, the art is stunning. It's done so well. He does literally everything. All the art is done by him. So story and art are done by, again, I'm not going to pronounce his name again because I didn't pronounce it the first time. Gabriella Downey does the lettering. The cover, the main cover and the variant cover are done by the same guy. And of course, it's credited for Harley Quinn, created by Paul Dini and Bruce Timm. So for the folks who have read Mad Love is kind of everyone's basis of the origin of Harley Quinn and Harley Quinn and Joker. Black Label, like I said earlier, is kind of going different ways with it. They're doing new origin stories in a way and retelling different things and changing, not fundamentally changing the characters, but adding new stuff to them that, again, doesn't have to do with the main continuity. It just has to do with these books. And actually, they don't have to do with each other, just the book that they're in. So this version of Harley is probably going to be nothing like a Harley you see in, well, I know for a fact, it's nothing like the one you see in Sean Murphy's Batman run. It has nothing to do with the Harley that's in the Joker Harley Criminal Sanity. They're not linked together by any means other than the fact that they're the same characters. It's just another telling of her origin, essentially. And this one delves deeper into, again, it's a little different than Mad Love, the way it's kind of portrayed and shown. But it's very similar in the same aspects as the fact that Harley is a psychiatrist that is basically exposed to the worst criminals in all of Gotham when she goes to work at Arkham Asylum. This one gives you a different take on why she's there. And that happens to be she's doing a case study. She's trying to prove and trying to help build a case how to fix broken minds. And they go through the whole thing. There's a lot of not technical babble, but like psychology stuff thrown in there. I'm not going to go into the depths of it. But so in this, she is trying to get a project funded where she can then do case studies on criminals from both Blackgate Prison, where the normal everyday prisoners go, and then Arkham Asylum, which is usually reserved for the maniacs and the masks, as they're said, or the villains. So you have in here, you see Joker, you see Killer Croc, Puppet Masters in there. I'm trying to think who else I can look at it. I don't know why I'm trying to. Oh, who do I see in there? I think you see. There's glimpses of Two-Face, even though he's not in there. Zaz is in there. Poison Ivy's in there. I think Riddler. Yeah, Riddler's in there. They make Killer Croc fucking enormous, which is what it's supposed to be. And of course, Joker, like I said, is in there. I think that's. Maybe I misspoke about. Oh, Mr. Freeze is in there. That she is. He's in there. There's a couple other ones in there too. I can't remember all of them. Riddler, Freeze. Yeah. Anyways. And so you see a lot of the. They're not inventing new characters and new stuff like that. He's using. I think it's he. I'm not too sure. Again, I don't know that name. But they're using. Established characters and they're not changing up. They're just giving, he's just focusing more on Harley's origin of how she became Harley Quinn. And through the art, they do a lot of cool things where her shadow is Harley in the jumpsuit with the jester's cap, holding a pistol, where her silhouette or her body is, definitely not dressed up like that. She looks like her normal clothes and normal human being. But delves into the psychology of not just the criminals, but even herself, where she's having issues with mental stability, insomnia, night terrors, all these things that are slowly tipping her one way, and then she starts to get better and she starts to get worse at the same time. And it's not meant to, like, oh, I don't know who this is going to turn to. They tell you in it, this is basically how she got to where she was. And there's lots of scenes with dream sequences and visuals of her as Harley, and going into the, so kind of bleeding into it. And then talking more about Joker as he is known or first experienced by her, at one point fighting the cops and then inviting Batman and all these things like that. So it kind of goes through that, but it's a really fun way of kind of magnifying and basically building on top of the mythos of Harley Quinn and basically Harlene Quinzel. You kind of see you get to watch and go step by step into the build up and breakdown essentially of Harlene into Harley. I really enjoy the Joker in this, cause he's a true maniac. He's very violent. He's sporadic. He's very much like the Bruce Timm, Paul Dini Joker from the animated series, in the way that he's very out. He's completely insane. He does things almost at a whim. He's always telling lies, making up stuff, very similar to what the Christopher Nolan did with the Joker in the Dark Knight trilogy. You never know when he's telling the truth. There's this little bit of truth and then just crazy elaboration on top of it, which just gets you that much more like kind of like, oh, like, and she even knows that he's lying in this. So it's not like you're like, oh, wait, which one the truth? But it's going to be interesting to see as it goes forward if he tells her the truth, because that's what she's there for, or does he lull her into a sense of understanding and things like that, and then obviously breaks her that way. Or I don't know, because I haven't finished it yet, because I've only read the first two, and I'm only talking about the first one for the most part. Which I'm going to be doing the first issue of each of these series this month, because they're all very new, literally out in the last month or so. But it's interesting to see how how the story is progressing and showing you the like I said, the buildup and the breakdown of Harleen into Harley, and it's tremendously done. So far, tremendously done. The art is gorgeous. The storytelling is real fun. It's a very dense book. Most of the Black Label stuff comes in a premium format, which is taller and wider than most regular comic books. They're more bigger page count, higher page count. They're a better print too. The covers are more of a stiff paper, better prints. The art is done on I don't want to say glossy, but it's very mattish, but it's I think of all the ones I've read so far, which are the first few series of Batman Damned, the Last Knight on Earth, the Superman Year One, and of course Harleen, as well as the other ones, the print quality of them is really good, and the paper type really helps the art kind of stand out and be, well, I mean, tremendous. It helps the art kind of stand up on its own right. John Romita Jr.'s art in the Superman Year One and Greg Capullo's art in the Batman The Last Knight on Earth really come out extremely, extremely gorgeous in it. And then Sean Murphy's art is some of my favorite of all of them. I just wish it was in this bigger format, because it's in a... That's the only one. Well, that one and Last God are the only ones that are in the normal. How do I say this? Normal print style of a comic book, and they're shorter too. But the main premium print version of all the Black Label books. Like I said, the binding is different. It's not stapled. It's glued and binded like a book. The print, the paper they use is different. The coloring, the ink they use on there, it's a lot of shiny and matte. It's hard to describe because I'm dumb. But if you were to go in your comic shop and look at them, if you're a collector, for sure. If you're a digital reader, they're still going to look gorgeous on whatever you're reading them on, unless you're reading them on a black and white Kindle, then you're doing yourself a disservice. But even if you're on your phone, they're still going to look amazing. And like I said, the art in Harleen is amazing. Art in almost all of them I've read so far are pretty spectacular. Next week when I talk about Joker, Harley, Criminal Insanity, I'm going to go in a little more about art on that, because it's way different than anything you've seen before. But yeah, that's basically it. Yeah, that's it for this week's episode, everybody. So like normal, when I wrap this up, I've been your host, Cody. This has been The Awesome with Cody. And as usual at the end of these, I always say, let's be awesome.